We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about podcasts. That was the GameCube theme song.
No, actually, you didn't even have to say it because everybody could tell.
We all got it.
I was doing it for PlayStation
upon a
households.
Scat battle.
I was doing it for PlayStation households, those who grew up GameCubeless.
Are we allowed to listen to this podcast?
Certainly not.
No.
Certainly not.
No.
This is a cube only, a cube full
only
podcast.
For the cubes.
And your cubist host of all, me, Jordan.
I'm Doge. How many Sega systems does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Oh my gosh.
Is this an OG or did you find this?
You think I wrote this joke? I'm not even half this funny. How many Sega systems does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Hold on.
Saturn. Whole cast. A whole cast.
None. They get systems like the Xbox to do it for them.
Yeah, sick burn, dude. Destroyed. Sega destroyed.
Got
from the top row, Xbox comes in.
Yeah, that's awful.
Can I tell a quick story, real quick?
Yeah.
In the fifth grade, I was standing in line for a roller coaster at Six Flags with an Xbox Live hat on that my dad had gotten from like a Microsoft event that he went to.
Bro, that's badass.
But I did not have an Xbox. I just had a GameCube. And some guy in line was like, "What's your gamer tag, bro?" And I was like, "I don't know what that means." And my dad was like, "It's for Xbox." And I got so embarrassed that I didn't know that I felt like I was lying about the hat. Still wore it constantly because I liked it a lot. But yeah.
Anyway. Oh, I'm Carter. And all my friends are here. Most of my friends are here. These are all my friends.
That's true. We do have some special guests today.
These are my friends.
As you know, if you've been listening to us at all, we've got a very big day tomorrow with the release of Imagine Dungeons,
tomorrow.
The podcast you should be listening to. And with us today are, I'm going to say, the heart and the soul of the Imagine Dungeons podcast.
Hey, and that is and our Vince. Friends.
And also Vince is here.
And Vince too.
That's right.
And those are our friends, Vince and Mariah Kelly. Do y'all want to introduce yourselves? Say hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we do a funny, my name is Vince and I've been waiting a fortnight to be among us.
Ooh.
Okay. So Jordan, I wrote that one. I sent that one to Vince.
Okay.
That's the one I wrote.
That's so good.
Doge Rider situation.
I'm Mariah and I don't have a funny quip. I'm unprepared, which is very unlike me.
Wow. Mm.
Animal Crossing. I got you.
Yeah. You how many animals crossed the road?
Did you know that there's a band called the 8-bit, I think it's 8-bit orchestra or 8-bit big band, that's what it's called, and they do big band covers of video game music, and they have a whole Ooh. Series where their special guest is KK Slider.
That's magic.
It's all
that's incredible.
It's pretty great.
World class.
It's pretty great. Well, thank you guys for being on with us. We're really excited about today because we're going to talk in a little bit about the video games that changed our lives. But first, it wouldn't be Two Chunks without... Games even feels like the wrong word because I think games typically have like an expectation of winning or doing well or enjoying it.
It wouldn't be Two Chunks without one of us making the other people do stuff.
Yeah. There it is. I like that.
That's it.
Forced.
So it's kind of like I just got off of work so that I could come to work.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, all right.
It's work.
Back at it.
Obligatory playtime.
Yeah. Obligatory playtime. That's very good. It's like when you get like free time in class in elementary school, but it's just math. Mm. Like it's the,
yeah.
Like
math it's like instead of your stuff. Math worksheet, you get to play this math game. A math
Stations.
Computer game, even.
Wait, Number Munchers. I actually loved Number Munchers.
That's
Number
not a real Munchers. Game.
Number Munchers. Was
I don't think
a game.
I know Number Munchers.
I put in my floppy disk when I was. Now we're. Well, shoot. Now we're. What's the rating? The rating's getting much worse.
Hello.
Put my floppy disk into computer class because I would usually be done with my homework pretty quick, and within those remaining 15 minutes, play Number Munchers.
My youth pastor said I can't put my floppy disk in computer class anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
Until you're married to computer class.
I got a high score on number munchers and got in trouble in class because it wasn't just the initials that you could put in on the leaderboard.
Ooh.
You could just kind of type, 10 characters or something, 10 to 12 characters. And I said, Carter farted.
Oh.
Because I thought it was so funny.
How
so
dare
like,
you.
So like the next person that got like the floppy 10. Disk was going to just
That's
be
great.
Like, and then Miss Williams found out she was behind me. And she was our teacher. And so for the next week, I had to type on a typewriter in computer class.
Because typewriters won't let you type fart.
Because then, yeah. And then she almost took me away. She almost took that away from me because I was just like doing like little beats and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty awesome.
So, as a teacher, it's so hard not to laugh when your kids do stupid stuff like that.
Yeah,
I can imagine. It is probably the hardest part of the job.
It's tough. Did anybody play Math Blasters?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's how a real this game. One?
I was also Math Blasters, Reading Blasters. I was a anything blasters kid.
Yes.
Gizmos Sonic and blasters. Gadgets was my jam over here. That was a me thing.
Gizmos Just and me? Gadgets?
Yeah, it was like a side scroller platformer with school-based mini games.
School-based.
There was like a side scroller platformer that we used to play in computer class, and it was a guy. It was like fantasy. He was like a gnome or something. And he could like jump and flip and collect like emeralds to help him do math back at his home in the mountain or the big tree, whatever it was.
Sure.
I don't remember what it was called, but I just had to share because it was so interesting.
So that's the first game that changed my life is that game.
Yeah.
The Keebler Elf math game.
The jumping gnome man. Yeah.
Doge, what's your game?
Guys, our favorite website, thetop10s.com, has prepared for us a list of the top 10 best video game characters of all time.
Easy.
Think back to those characters who made your heart race during epic battles. The ones who made you laugh with their witty one-liners. Or perhaps the silent protagonist who let their actions speak louder than words.
Ooh.
This list is crowdsourced. And we're going to play Rank You very much. You guys are working as a team of four. That is twice as many people as are usually trying to solve this
double
game.
Double the brain, double the
Here
win,
we go.
Baby.
Team of four, try not to get three strikes. We're going to see how many of the top 10 you can get correct.
These are characters, video game characters. Are these all playable characters, or are some of them like NPC side characters?
Good question.
The answer will not help us, just so you know.
Yeah, let's see.
And that answer is 10. Both for Shadowheart. So,
oh, nice. Good point.
Top 10, I would say 9.5
Ooh.
Are playable characters.
Okay. Oh, that was funny. Okay. I think we should definitely do Mario.
Mario feels like it's got to be up there.
That's silly, right? If you don't.
Although I will say, based on other lists we've done on this website, the other name I feel 100% certain on is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sure, but
Mario has to.
It makes me feel better to say Mario first.
So Mario, yes. Sonic, yes. I heard that this leans a little homeschooly.
Sure.
So did the VeggieTales have a video game?
I'm certain that there's a VeggieTales Game Boy game.
Larry the Cucumber.
I feel like
Larry
it
Boy.
Exists.
There is absolutely a Larry Boy PlayStation 2 video game, and I did have it,
dang.
And I did play it.
Can we lock in Mario, though?
Let's lock in Mario, sure. I think.
Number one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mario. Well, originally named Jumpman is the main character of the Super Mario Bros. Franchise. People don't like him because he's not cool. Those people are dumb.
What?
Mario is much more creative than their Master Chief or whatever.
Oh, first of all, Master Chief is infinitely cooler than Mario. That's crazy.
Much more cooler That's than crazy. Your Master Chief. Why does it
Other
have to
characters
be-
are just buff guys with huge guns and scars with tragic backstories.
Mario's a plumber with work ethic.
He's an Italian guy with a stylish mustache who breaks blocks with his fist in midair, eats mushrooms to grow, but dies when touching a turtle.
But
it
dies.
Is cool that Mario's mustache is like circled all the way back around and is very cool again. I do like that.
Vince, he hung on to nice. It.
He's just he like you. He dies enough. If you touch his butt.
That's true.
Just like a bumblebee.
I've heard that about
it's true.
You.
He also always gets the girl.
I think we lock in Sonic too.
Yeah, Sonic feels like it's got to be
Sonic.
Right?
Yeah.
The Hedgehog himself.
Oh, yeah. That feels good.
I don't like Doge's face. I didn't say lock it in, so it doesn't actually.
Okay.
It's not actually.
I lock it in. You can't do the face.
Yeah, let's lock it
You're
in.
You're going to drive
lock
yourself
it in, lock
crazy.
It in.
Number two.
Let's go. Yeah,
Sonic. Easy. Parentheses, Sonic the Hedgehog. Mario may have saved the video game industry, and to that, I applaud him, because without him, there would be no Sonic the Hedgehog.
Was that written there?
Yep.
Dude, and this is like a meta self-referential list. Yeah.
Mario. Can I just say, I can't stop thinking about the 9.5 playable characters.
I know.
So it makes me feel like it's a Banjo-Kazooie situation.
Okay.
Oh, where we've got
the little guy's name, Tooie?
Maybe. Kazooie.
Because you can't. Can you play as?
You do play as both.
You do play as both.
Okay, so then never mind. Ratchet and Clank?
I feel like the half. Oh, man. I don't even.
Ratchet and Clank is good. Yeah. Master Chief is very good.
Master Chief is
good. Is this console video games? Like, I think there's some good distinctions. Like,
sure.
Do PC, like computer games, do they count? Can we ask these questions?
You can ask any question.
There's no rules.
There's a couple in the top 10 that have been released full cross-platform.
Okay.
FCP.
I think that the Master Chief comment in Mario is because someone got so pissed that Master Chief was here.
Was Ooh, in the yeah. list.
Okay. That's that a good, feels good call.
So
and I think their mom it was doesn't let them play M-rated video games. So they're
probably
like,
it. Yeah. Probably it.
Yeah, you've got your buff mascots. You've got your Master Chief. You've got your Marcus Fenix of Gears of War.
Yeah. Sure.
You've got your Kratos of God of War. Mm. You have Peter Griffin from Fortnite.
Do you also feel like maybe Donkey Kong could be up there?
DK could definitely be up there.
My guess is this list leans heavy Nintendo.
I think so.
You think we just like need to go like through? We just need to go through characters? Smash Bros. Lineups, like the top people on Smash Bros.
Link. Oh, Link is a good one.
Oh, duh. Of course.
We should probably say Link.
Of course,
we should probably
Link.
Say Link.
Link.
All right, folks, let's start locking it in. I need an answer.
Let's lock it in. Link.
Lock it in.
Link. Lock it in.
Number 10.
We did it.
Barely squeaks in. Why is Link this low? That is absolutely outrageous. He's only number 9. Barely even in the top 10. Oh, come on, he's Link.
Then. He's dropped since then. Since that,
do the votes stay active in perpetuity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. You can like upvote stuff. That's why I thought Master Chief would be here somewhere. But who knows?
We'll play this again next week and see how it's changed.
Sure. I think Master Chief is still a safe bet. I really do. I think I like your logic on somebody was commenting on Master Chief's presence.
It does sound like people are looking at the list and adding information.
I feel better about Donkey Kong before Link, but
let's go Donkey Kong.
Let's go Donkey Kong.
We get 3 strikes, right?
Yeah, we've got 0 so far.
You do.
Let's lock in
Donkey Kong. And you have none.
He is the leader of the bunch.
Guys, Donkey Kong does not even make the top 25.
He wouldn't for me personally.
But he wouldn't well known.
But I know.
What does he want, though? What does Donkey Kong need?
What's his motivation?
What is he struggling for?
Yeah, sure. That's what true. Hero's journey has
he
Mr.
Has
Kong?
Too many barrels.
What he is does. At the top of Donkey Kong's hierarchy of needs?
Because
nobody's asking that.
Master Chief ties, talks though, certainly. Right? Who's also the silent?
A couple of like, times.
How soon?
Sonic talks. We've already got a talking
How recently
pro tag?
Did they do this like intro to the list where they're talking about like the one who doesn't say anything but lets their blend whatever do the talking?
I mean, y'all already got Link. Link famously Link does not speak.
Anything. Sonic talks.
Master Chief, lock it in.
I think so.
Yep. I'll take full responsibility. I can't get it out of my head.
Master Chief, let's lock it in.
Master Chief is number 6.
Whew.
Okay.
Whew.
Good.
Some might call him the closest thing to Hercules that has ever taken the body of a man. Others might call him Jesus with a gun.
Ah! What?
Did you say Moses?
Jesus with a gun.
Jesus with a gun.
That's
so worse.
Crazy.
Oh, geez.
That person knows the Mario commenter for sure and is just trying to get under their skin.
Yeah, that's
some
their
might
roommate.
Call him Jesus with a gun, Harold.
Go play with your fairies, eat mushrooms, wear cat suits, hang out with two-tailed creatures while spinning to battle against cheesy bosses. The Chief is going to be saving the universe from genocidal aliens.
Wow.
Wow.
So this 9.5 comment, he just hit on it. I was thinking about Knuckles, and I was thinking about Tails.
Mm.
Because you play like parts, like levels. So they get a level in some of those early Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I feel like Knuckles pre-Tails.
See, I think Tails pre-Knuckles.
The spinning,
really?
The spinning comment.
I think Tails
in the Master Chief. Description. Okay.
But I don't know.
Tails making this list at all. Top 10
would be crazy.
Pretty wild.
Over Donkey Kong?
I know.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
But honestly, I think
you might be right.
So, okay, can I throw a curveball here?
Yeah.
This list, something is speaking to me. And I feel like it's going to be Arthur from Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That is a curveball.
I have not played, so I cannot speak.
If you go online, I have seen hundreds of like top 10 games of all time lists, and Red Dead is in the top 3 of like 80% of those lists.
Okay, along that line, what about Joel from Last of Us?
Love these guys. We're getting to our top 10 list probably. Hear me out. Time for my curveball. How do you feel about Albert Pujols? Now, granted, there's a lot of good sports games out there.
Sure.
From Backyard Baseball?
From Backyard Baseball, from MVP 2000, from MVP 2001.
All-Star Baseball 99 on the N64.
2022. Ken Griffey Jr. could be there. Think about it. No, don't do that.
What if Tiger Woods is there?
Oh my God.
That would be insane.
That would be such
Master frustrating. Chief Tiger Woods.
Dirk Nowitzki.
All right, folks, I need an answer. Let's lock somebody in.
I feel good about Tails. I really do. I feel like we're onto something here, Vince, with that
All right.
comment in the Master Chief expose, I would say. I'm struggling what else the 9.5 would be. Let's go with Tails.
Miles Tails Prower is number 15.
Oh, still too high. Still too high.
Strike two. Sonic wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Tails. Also, Tails can actually get a girlfriend.
Whoa. Dang, dude. He did not have to go there.
Who can't get a girl?
Rude.
It's a deep cut.
Sonic and Mario. Watch Sonic X if you don't know what I'm talking
Doesn't
about.
Doesn't Sonic explicitly have a girlfriend?
Amy, right?
She's
a pink one.
Yeah.
I think in Sonic X, she was more into him than he was into her.
Well, that means he can get a girlfriend and chooses not to.
He chooses not to.
Mm.
Yoshi.
He has a whole name?
Yeah. Tails' full name is Miles Prower. Which is an excellent pun.
It's a very That's good a really pun. Cute name.
We've got
that is so good.
We've got Jack and Daxter not feeling great about it. We've got Spyro feeling a little bit better. We've got Crash Bandicoot.
Okay.
We've got Ratchet and or Clank.
These are all very good.
We have Ezio Auditore of Assassin's Creed 2.
Ezio Auditore de Firenze.
Pretty popular.
Requiescat in pace.
I mean, do we think Baldur's Gate has made an entrance with our vampire boy?
None of these people are allowed to play that game. That's a guarantee.
It is rated M.
That's a guarantee. Too many breastuses.
What about Yoshi?
Yoshi feels could like, be
Kirby.
The point five.
Wait, Kirby?
Oh, Kirby. Kirby feels good.
But his games are lame.
Yeah, his games are lame,
his moves
unfortunately.
Are lame, though.
My 3-year-old does like the Kirby game, so.
I heard the Switch one from a couple years ago is pretty fire, but.
Yeah, wait, do people count Pikachu? Has to.
Pikachu's not a playable character, but you do cut. Dude, hey.
That's really good.
That could be a half.
That could be our half.
Hmm.
Honestly, at this point, if it's not Pikachu, I don't know who it is. Let me take a Pikachu.
I think Pikachu's a very good guess. I also, with Master Chief being up there, I think that Kratos is an icon.
Agreed. However, I will point out, famously, boobs in the game.
Mm.
But not in the new games. Unless I missed. Well, there is that place called Nippleheim.
You forgot to download the boobs DLC, unfortunately, it seems like.
It is called Niflheim.
The double DLC, if I remember.
Oh, Carter.
Okay, what about something from like Kingdom Hearts? Kingdom Hearts Disney adjacent?
This is a Sora That's crowd.
Tricky. Oh, gosh.
This is a Sora crowd.
Could be good. A Sora.
This it's is good. A Sora crowd.
Riku.
Instead of pocket demons, probably. But... are you going to feel worse not saying Pikachu Like, we get to the end of it and Pikachu's on the list and we didn't say it.
The magnetic pull or that Sora just instantly had on me, I feel like I have to say Sora.
Okay.
I'm done for Sora.
Before Pikachu?
I think they're both.
How many strikes do we have? One?
No, we got one left.
Two. Oh, Tails.
Two
Tails
strikes.
Wasn't on there. Oh.
If a group of people have ever played Kingdom Hearts, it is the people who made this list.
Gosh, also that's me, so by the way. High. Top 10 video game characters?
I don't agree with it. I'm just saying it's
oh
there.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there's a lot of good games. Crazy. Like there are, I mean, they have a bunch of like DS and there's so many versions of Kingdom Hearts, which is why the story is so convoluted.
All right.
We're a house divided right now. I'm willing to concede. I don't really care that much if I'm being honest with you.
We can go Pikachu for sure.
Let's go Pikachu. Let's lock it in.
I played a lot of yellow.
Kratos, lock it in. Pikachu.
Pikachu is number 8.
Nice. Very, is that the 0.5?
That is the 0.5 very good. To which I was referring.
I agree with you. Can we swing for Sora now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sora. That's good.
I don't think he's there now. 8 for Pikachu makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Let's go Sora. Lock it in.
Sora does not crack the top.
That's fair.
25.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
You guys got number 1, Mario. You got number 2, Sonic. You did not get number 3, Luigi, Mario's brother. You did not get number 4, Kirby from Kirby.
Okay.
It is forgot we said Kirby. Smash Brothers.
Yoshi is number 5.
Yoshi.
Another Bowser is number 7. You guys got 6. Master Chief, Bowser is 7. Pikachu's 8. Number 9 is Shadow the Hedgehog.
Of course. Dude.
And number 10 is Link.
Of course Shadow redeemed. The Hedgehog.
So it he was cusses, almost though. All of
he's a bad and he has boy. A gun. He has a gun and he says, damn.
They need, well, you know, Master they need some Chief bad boy energy.
This group has played two video games. And walks past one billboard.
Yes.
And that is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Sonic and Mario at the Olympics. And then they happened to see a Master and Chief Pikachu collab billboard in downtown when their mom got groceries.
That's it.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Good job, team. I'm happy to get half.
Infuriating. Hey, how close was Arthur Morgan to the top of that list?
Arthur Morgan does not show up in the top that's 25, fair. But John Marston is number 12.
Okay. Mm. Red Dead Redemption is sort of the that's fight high. Club of video games where I feel like it is very good, but it gets overly gassed up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's very good.
Yeah, there's still like stretches of that game that are pretty boring. The highs are so high.
Whenever I read people online that are like, it's the only game that I'm not sad there's no fast travel because I just like to wander. I'm like, you and me are different people. I want fast travel in every game I've ever played. I don't want to walk anywhere.
Put Arthur in a Camry, please.
Yes.
Nothing's faster.
That's why Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom rule because it's like, I'm just going to float. It's better than running. It's better than a horse. I don't touch my horse in Zelda ever unless it's Epona in like an old Zelda. I just float.
I feel like the first Breath of the Wild, I really loved riding my horse. And then second one, just
float.
I was ready to skip it all. Just
shoot go. A rocket.
I'd rather fly. I'd rather fly.
Ride a bike with fans on it.
You're right.
With Honeywell little fans on it.
Can I put a button on it before we go to shout announcements?
Of course.
What do you call the Nintendo Wii in France?
I didn't know it was going to be that kind of button.
The Nintendo Wii Wii.
Nintendo, yes.
Yeah.
Got it in one.
In France, it would be the Wii still. They speak French.
No, they translate.
I don't know why I'm arguing. That's funny.
Well, it's like the car that was called the Nova, but it did not sell well in any Spanish-speaking countries because Nova means doesn't go.
Oh my gosh.
That's
the Nissan stays here.
What is the Wii called in Scotland? It's called the Little.
Yeah.
Oh, like wee.
Oh.
That sucks.
Like it's like small.
A wee little.
A wee.
I'm just waiting. I'm going to keep doing these until we get to go to shout announcements.
We can go ahead and do that. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs, and also it's the part of the show where we make announcements. And it's right now. It's happening right in front of you. Put down your phone. Open your eyes. Live a little. You're missing it. You know what I mean? And it is us. There's really only one thing you need to know right now. And that is, as the crow flies, if you're listening to this on release day, tomorrow, August 7th, is the day that episodes 1 and 2, wow, our special double premiere of Imagine Dragons, coming hot right to your phones.
Dude. Hey, it's Editing Doge. What Jordan meant to say was that Imagine Dungeons premieres tomorrow. He called it Imagine Dragons, and we don't know what that is, but it sounds like it'd be a cool name for something, like a band or a cologne or maybe a car. Anyway, he meant to say Imagine Dungeons.
And there's so much more to come. We've probably said that before, but I think we've got enough episodes to get us through several months. A fun thing that's happening is we're also real far along. So the same day that episodes 1 and 2 release, we are very likely recording together with our friends, Mariah and Vince, and then Gage, who you've heard from as well, the final episode of the current arc that we're on. So it's an Imagine Dungeons day for the crew. And I'm really so excited for it.
It's going to be
extremely excited. This is, we started playing in March. We have been working on this. We're so, so excited to show y'all what we've been able to create together.
Was it only March?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our first session was like March 4th or so.
In a good way, that it feels like we've been playing forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a bad way.
March kind of feels forever to me.
March does feel like it was a long time ago.
March feels like forever. Sounds like
it's a Taking Back Sunday album.
Oh, I was going to say Taylor Swift lyrics.
Yeah, either one. I think they both work.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Purple.
My time is purple.
I can't even do it
out loud. This is a favorite color is purple.
I can't do it.
Yippee!
You got it.
You got it.
Green, yes, green's my favorite. How did you know? Whoa, that's
Carter,
crazy.
Your Luigi is a little bit like Transylvanian as well.
Vampire Luigi.
Green is my favorite color.
My favorite color.
I want to suck your purple.
Vampigi.
Vampigi.
Vampigi. Let's go.
Vampigi. Vampigi is powerful. I like that.
Vampigi.
I suppose we're back. In the
episode. Lately, he made his dirtier, much dirtier brother, Vampigi 13.
Ooh, yeah. That's good. The world needs
things
to be
get
Vampigi.
A little bit more explicit.
He could say one say F word.
But once. One time only.
Once.
It's like a B. Once he says it, he dies. Well, as you can probably tell with our Vampigi-related conversation, the back half of this episode is dedicated to a discussion I've been excited about for a while, which is video games that changed our lives. This is happening in sort of the same format as our albums, our book discussion that we had with Gage. We just want to talk about, this is a video game-heavy crowd, so we just want to talk about what video games through our lives have sort of left lasting marks on us. So everybody brought Three video games. I organized mine by time in my life that I played them, but you don't have to do that. Just whatever order you want to talk about.
Let's do whatever.
And I also brought an honorable mention of something I've just been playing now, just because that's fun to me as well. But I think it's safe to say that this will be, I think there'll be some crossover for sure, but I also think it'll be pretty eclectic. Does anybody have a burning desire to go first? Carter does.
My first video game was the first video game outside of Tetris. So yes, I had the whole like big gray brick experience and it didn't really blow my mind. Like I think a boomer would say or something. I was just like, this is cool. Like it was, I guess it was coming.
Yeah.
But when I played on the Super Nintendo Mario Kart, that was a completely different thing. And the reason I picked Mario Kart 2, and it's a bit cheating, so I hope I'm not painting with this big brush and like picking up someone else's favorite thing. But Mario Kart has kind of been with me from the jump. Like this was my first Mario experience and have seen multiple iterations. If I was to pick a favorite, it was Mario Kart 64. But Mario Kart is like the old, old friend that you still see in a good amount of distance, like between time and like spend good time with them. But Mario Kart has always been big for me. I was one of those that got really frustrated when someone was a bit of a game breaker. I think Mario 64 was my first experience of having the friend that knew how to cheat, like how to like if you just jump into if you jump into this ether, you know, it's so that was like I've had lots of frustration with that. Mario Kart has made me have controllers sound like a creaking old tree because I was just pressing it so much because I was so upset before I could really express how I felt.
Definitely. That pitchfork N64 controller had a lot of creaks in it once you had it for a little while.
100%. Yes.
For sure.
But yeah, long, long time. Mario Kart.
I love it.
Huge.
I love it. Great choice.
I did successfully learn how to jump over the wall in Wario's arena.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
On that final turn?
Yep. Yeah, like right at the start line.
Yep, and you kind of like just end up.
Yep. Yeah, and you can just run it back. That was a fun party trick. That was also back in the game when you couldn't, like cheating was so visible. Because the person is sitting next to you like, hey, that's cheating.
What are you doing?
Did you ever just slap the controller out of somebody's hand during Mario Kart, sitting right next to you? Just a quick little right out of their little meaty paws.
Almost definitely. I would also do the walk by if I wasn't the one playing and just rap, pull all the cords out of the front of the machine.
Back then too, with the N64, the game just kept going. You pull the controller out and everybody just passed.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
the little
oops.
Camera guy. Yeah, the little camera turtle on the cloud is just like, this dude is not fun to film.
I don't know if I'm proud or not to know that it's a Lakitu.
That's fine.
Sure. I think that's
Lakitu great. Lakitu still visits me sometimes on a bad day. Mm. Like when I've done a big mistake in my job or something, I could just see Lakitu just kind of like floating down. I was like, no, wrong way. Mm-hmm. Can't. Nope.
Uh-uh. Don't do that. Don't that's do that one. Do.
Come on out of the pond.
Come on, get on out of there. Come on now.
Who's next?
Gotta be quicker than that.
My first one is also a racing game, but it was, I was not a Nintendo boy. I was a PlayStation boy as a child. And the first video game I ever owned was Walt Disney World Magical Extreme Racing Tour, which was basically just like Disney Mario Kart. But you could be like Chip and Dale or like Mickey or like any of those like, first party Disney characters, but all the tracks were different, like rides at Disney World. So there was like, you could race on Space Mountain
I want to play this game.
It was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was exactly Mario Kart. Like instead of blocks, you had like little Mickey Mouse shaped balloons that gave you power ups. Like it was 100% just a reskinned Mario Kart, but it was the first video game I ever owned.
It's back when Disney was fun.
I played that forever, man. I had one controller for my PlayStation. I played it by myself for so long.
Were the characters like, you can be Simba or you can be Mickey?
No, it wasn't anything other than like Mickey Mouse.
The Big Five?
World. Like Mickey and like Donald and Goofy and like those from that IP. I don't know.
The Fab Five.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want to have to pay
that's close.
I wonder if you have to pay writers of The Lion King or something.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know, but it was all like very like first party stuff.
Interesting.
Give me the name of this again, please.
Disney World Extreme Racing Tour, Magical Extreme Racing Tour, something like that.
It's a long I think name.
Walt Disney World.
Quest Magical Racing Tour?
Walt Disney World Quest Magical Racing Tour. Yes.
Horrible name.
Wow.
Wait, zero there out are of some faces in this that I don't recognize at all. Do they make up characters for this game also?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Okay. There was like a duck that they made up for sure. He was
Really?
And he wasn't real before this.
Yeah, there's like some like Goofy-esque characters and like a Pooh Bear that kind of looks evil.
What?
I didn't unlock very many of them. I was not very good at this
Shadow
game.
Shadow Pooh, actually.
Shadow Pooh. Shadow Pooh.
He had a gun.
I'm going to try and see if there's a way to play this. I need to try and play this again.
Hey, it might be better in your memory.
I'll never play this again.
That's my boy.
Well, we gotta unlock those characters.
I tried that with Donkey Kong 64, the platforming game.
Yeah.
In the last maybe 5 years. And it was stinky boo boo doo doo. It was not what I remembered.
That's tough.
Carter, mine was very similar to yours, a game that has kind of like followed me through the years. I did not grow up with consoles of any sort in my house until like middle school. And so my first like video game I played was Animal Crossing on the GameCube at specifically my best friend's house.
Very good.
That's amazing.
Sarah Jasinski, shout out to you if you're still out
there.
Shout
out. Shout out Sarah.
Oh, hold up.
One of our weekly listeners.
Kirsten Duncan was my babysitter. It was her Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo that I played.
Amazing.
When I was a kid. Oh.
Carter.
She was like a high school.
It's actually Mariah's time.
Girl, like babysitter. I was just like, oh my God.
So see, I like owned my game, but it's fun that you guys have this like stolen valor thing where you're like, this was my game. Well, it wasn't mine.
After the GameCube game, I went on to play all of the other ones except the one that came out on the Wii, City Folk, because the Wii was like that weird time when I was in college. And it's like, I didn't have a system, but my family had a system at home. But I played the crap out of Wild World and New Leaf. I probably put, I don't even know how many calculable hours into New Leaf. Like
you can say weeks. Weeks is easier.
Yeah. Lots and lots of weeks, probably year. Like I had a whole Tumblr, like where I would post, I got very into like the designing portion of Animal Crossing. You could do like pixel art.
Incredible.
And so I had like a Tumblr with too many followers than I feel like I can say here and not sound braggy.
It was like 15. It was like 15,000 people.
It was crazy. Wow. It was really fun. I spent a lot of time on it. And then when the new one got announced, I followed it forever and they kept delaying it and they kept delaying it. And then it finally got announced for March of 2020. My birthday's in March. I had like a little chain, like countdown paper chain. I was
Nothing
amped.
Else bad happened
Nothing
too.
Nothing else
so
bad like happened.
Only good stuff. That was perfect.
Yeah. And
actually,
then
it was perfect timing.
I had like taken days off of work. Like I was so prepared to just like live in this game. And then I did get to live in that game for the next year.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great choice.
Weird time.
I do associate you with Animal Crossing. I think of Animal Crossing when I hear your name. So that's
You had the
wow.
You have the Animal Crossing Switch. It's the coolest one.
Vince got it for me for my birthday.
The colors on that are great.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, that is the coolest one.
Yeah, it's super cool. And you streamed it on Twitch for
a while.
Yeah,
that was what I streamed mostly on Twitch. It's wonderful. Has a special place in my heart. I can't play it a whole lot anymore because I also played it in early pregnancy and I was like super nauseous, especially with screens. And so weirdly, now if I like try to get on it, all of that comes back. And it's really sad. I really want to play it, but I can't.
Hopefully the next iteration of it doesn't do that.
I'll be curious if they do another iteration.
New season.
I don't know if they will.
No, they probably won't. Well, Nintendo hates money. They do. The last thing Nintendo wants is to make money ever.
I just
according
feel like
to
it was
their release calendar.
So many years between. Yes, it was so many years between.
Well, there would be. I'm just saying, like before we die. You know what I'm saying? I bet there'll be another one.
72-year-old Mariah is going to break out whatever new Animal Crossing. She'll buy the system just for that.
So, the most formative game for me, which came out when I was 10 years old, on the PlayStation 2. Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus.
That game rips, dude. That is such a fun game.
It's so good. I think my first game was probably Star Wars Episode I Racer, the pod racing game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was when I was like, oh, this is different. This is, I could, I understand video games. But Sly Cooper was this, that's what like opened non-competitive gaming for me.
Yeah.
In a way, because when I was too young, like for Mario 64, I've since gone back and played it and it's amazing. It was so wonderful, but I was not very good at it because I was six when it came out, I think. You know, yeah. Like, but Sly Cooper just hit at the right time and it was like discovery. This is before I could go and like get a guide. And so I did it all without guides because I'm sure that they existed. I did not know that they existed. And then like the trading of like playground secrets of like, oh, are you trying to get those bottles? Those are up here. Cause there was like these little clue bottles that you would go and I don't know. It was just the vibe, the aesthetic, it's cool to be a thief. Yeah. Big fan. Played all of them.
I think when we started dating, that was one of the games I watched you go back and replay.
Amazing.
Yes.
Cause I had never played it.
Yeah. We did, I think like 1, 2, and 3.
Amazing.
But yeah, Sly Cooper, man.
Good stuff.
He's for Love those it. That don't know, you play as a raccoon who is a thief and he has a buddy who is a turtle, with a crossbow and then a big old pink hippo and you're the wrecking crew.
It really feels like a new one of those with modern like gameplay aesthetic and sort of like game language would crush.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Like the way they've kind of done the two newest Ratchet and Clanks, where it's like kind of the ethos of that vibe, but like let's bring back these other characters.
Sure. Yeah.
I replayed the remastered Ratchet and Clank. I haven't played the new one yet, but it totally holds up. It's wonderful.
It's amazing. Fun. It's so fun.
Video games are good. So, you heard it here first.
Video games are good.
Quick one for me, because I guarantee I've told the story on the podcast before, but the singular video game, I could stop my list here and it would be just as impactful, but the singular video game that really changed everything for me is The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I received it. I rented it from Blockbuster because there was a sword on the cover. Never left Kokiri Forest on my first rental and immediately ran it back and asked if I could just rent it again. Shortly after that, my little brother was born, and for being a good big brother, which I think is code for this will keep him quiet for a very long time, my parents bought me my own copy of Ocarina of Time. Mm. And for that game, I genuinely, because I would have been in the first grade, and I think that game is what taught me to like learn to read more quickly so that I could get through the game.
That's awesome.
And like be by myself in the room and like understand these sort of big fantasy words that they were using.
Totally.
And so I know that game like the back of my hand. There was a long time where every summer the last day of school ended and I came home and sat down in front of my Nintendo 64 and just booted up Ocarina of Time again. It was like the signifier of summer has started when I played Ocarina of Time again. And I love that game. And honestly, I think you'll see that it kind of informs some of my other choices here as well as I get older. But that game is so special to me and I love it very much.
No doubt.
We've talked about how with like movie nostalgia and nostalgia in general, there's something about around the time you were 10 that some of the things that come out are super formative to you. For me, it was things, you know, like Jurassic Park and Lion King and that Disney Renaissance.
I think Animal Crossing came out in 2002. I would have literally been 10.
1997, so I'm about to be 10. GoldenEye came out.
Amazing.
And this was actually the 13th James Bond video game that ever existed.
That's crazy.
It had like arcade vibes. It had like real, real early computer vibes. But this was like, for a lot of people, the first legitimate James Bond video game. I think in Hollywood, making a game after some kind of IP that started in a movie has been around forever. And so I certainly had fooled myself at the age of 9, like this was the first time this ever happened. And I can't believe it's so great. Everything from the pause screen that went way too hard. The music was so good. I tried to play this again about a year ago and I felt like an animal, like if a bear played any video game. Like I had no idea. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like checking again. Like if you've ever played a sport or when you're playing a video game and you mess up and you look at the controller and like, it must have been this. It's certainly not me. It's certainly not the person holding it. But yeah, just the sound of like when you get shot and it's like that, it's like that breath thing that you do. And you can just see like your health is kind of on the outside. It almost looks like a scope. But I could probably draw the maps for you on this. There'd be times I would post up in all the different kinds of modes that you could play and just sit in a tower and wait for guys to run through sand dunes so that I could just clob them.
The multiplayer of GoldenEye informed so many, like the way in which I would spend so many of my nights and weekends for years, even though it wasn't all with GoldenEye. Like we would take Halo and we would create rules so that it felt like GoldenEye. Like, the stakes aren't high enough that you can shoot me for half an hour. I need you to have a rocket launcher. So we're doing only rocket launchers.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, and it's like, this is just
like
how.
Like the golden gun mode.
Yeah. Cause that was, but all of that, I mean, I'm sure somebody is going to in the comments say that there was something earlier than that, but GoldenEye felt like the one that unlocked the, what became LAN parties, what became all these things was just four squares on a screen.
Yep.
So good.
My number two, it also hit me when I was 10 in the summer of 2004. And it's the video game tie-in to 2004 Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, dude.
That PlayStation 2 video game, like 100% blew my mind as a 10-year-old. And all I wanted to do that whole summer was play Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation 2. It was the first one that had like full open world with all of the processing power of a PlayStation 2, like full go anywhere you want in New York City.
It
was the physics based traversal with the webs and stuff.
So
it was so cool and so much fun. And I remember thinking like playing that game and being like, they did it. Like nothing's going to ever look more real than this.
Yes.
They got it.
I had that from Mario 64. They arrived.
Yes. The graphics.
Have you played Spider-Man, like the re-release on PlayStation 4? Not the re-release, but the newest Spider-Man.
The new ones?
I immediately was like, oh, they nailed Spider-Man 2. Like, this is what it felt like to be.
To play that.
12,
100%.
Yes.
The swinging in that game is some of the most fun getting around a map has ever been.
But yeah, Spider-Man 2 is, I mean, incredible. That's the one fantastic where you deliver game, pizzas?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how messed up your pizza would be after the flips?
Why is this guy on a roof?
Because you had like the meter, and it was like the more flips you do, the less of a good score you get.
I do have an issue with that, though, because physics-wise, with centripetal force, the pizza would have been pushed back against the bottom of the box, and so in theory, it actually should have been fine.
Unless
you
had enough
flying through the air like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, exactly. If you had enough speed going around, you would have totally been fine.
If the pizza is the center of the turn, though, if it's like a somersault around the pizza box, then it wouldn't, right?
Then doesn't it get compacted into one pizza orb? You don't have to answer. It's right.
The pizza orb.
It's actually right.
You don't have to answer. It's right.
For the audience, I did teach physics for the last 10 years, and I have a degree in civil engineering. So
answer the question.
And yet refuses to answer the question about pizza orb. Curious.
It's right. Wow. It's right.
The deep state doesn't want you to know about pizza orb.
Legally, I can't tell you whether or not it's right.
Famous pizza orb denier, Mariah Kelly.
The next one that was on my list, again, I didn't play a ton of console games when I was little, but I played a lot of PC games. My entire family was very into the Nancy Drew PC games.
Have y'all ever
played any of those?
I have not.
Okay, I have played, me and my older sister and I, however you say that, we have played every pizza single orb. One that has ever existed. We loved it. We would all sit around the table or on the desk and take notes and swap off like using the mouse. And I have a lot of really wonderful memories. The very first time we played, my grandma, who has now since passed, she was in town and my mom had purchased it. And my grandma, my mom, and my older sister and I all sat squished around our tiny little gateway computer.
So fun.
And played. I can't tell you which one it was now, because I've played like literally 20 something of these games, but it's really special to me.
Your mother just moved homes, and one of the boxes that I was trying to find a place for in the garage was just stacked CD cases of the Nancy,
Drew games.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That tracks.
Incredible.
Now I have to go look and see what the first one was.
Star Wars Jedi Knight Academy.
Number one, Secrets Can Kill.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. And that's true, too.
That's a good
song. It's like a good lesson for us all.
I'll go with a formative one. So I have a long list here. So I just said the name as a joke, but Star Wars Jedi Knight Academy.
Yeah.
This game was probably really bad. But man, this is before Star Wars Force Unleashed, and a lot of what comes, like, this game is the test kitchen for what became Force Unleashed.
Is this Kyle Katarn?
I don't remember, because all I remember about this game is that you could make your own Jedi.
Oh.
And then fight in an arena of like 60 Jedi. And everyone can throw their lightsaber. And it would just tank your console to 10 frames per second.
Sure.
And it was like five power selections, force selections, and absolute chaos. And
how fun.
It was so, and it hit, like, again, you're like, this is probably episode one, episode two time of life. Episode two, I bet. And you're just like side flipping and then throwing a dual bladed red lightsaber at your friend. And you look like a solo shot first. Who's the guy that you can
Greedo.
Thank you. Yeah. So you're a Greedo in like a tan suit, just throwing yellow lightsabers. It was an amazing life. And that was, again, one of those moments where I realized like all of my friend time centered around, what can we pull up on four screens and just do for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours? Yep. I do remember playing the campaign. I don't think it was anything. I took it home because I was like, the rest of this game has to be awesome. And it wasn't.
Oops. That mode.
But that game was incredible. And it did. It really did. It formulated so much of even what you see in Jedi Survivor. This was like, they finally did a playground of being a Jedi that isn't turn-based.
Yeah.
This is like, what if you felt like a Jedi? So for that, I'm infinitely grateful.
That's great.
I do have some good news. There is a new Nancy Drew game that came out on May 7th. And so I'm actively texting my older sister, who is in New York and somehow still awake. And we are planning when we're going to play it together.
Incredible.
That's so fun.
So if y'all are,
that's amazing.
If y'all are free, I've recently come into a few hours.
We can play some Jedi Academy.
Yeah, but say get it on Steam. It's like $3. It's never more than $5 on Steam.
My second game is very easy because there's not much to say about it. It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It came out when I was in the seventh grade.
Dude.
And it just owns. Like, it just...
The campaign.
The campaign's amazing. It's the first like online multiplayer game I ever really got into.
Is this the zombie Nazi one?
No, that was World Nazi at Zombies? War was the first one for zombies.
Okay.
No, this one was just, it introduced throwing knives, which were like very much my jam. And you could customize your gun, jump in and just like fight your friends and yell at strangers. And it was just like very formative to the communal gaming experience that I grew up with. So yeah, Modern Warfare 2, I don't think it would hold up today, but it was very fun.
I have always been a sports boy. And I realized, because I was trying to make the list for this podcast with my friends and had several of my, well, pretty much my entire close community over at my house just a few days ago, and looked around and realized, man, I don't really surround myself with sports people. And so I think it wasn't
was
until...
Was it everyone always, sitting outside while the other half watched the Olympics that gave it away?
Bro, the half in there had won. It was Mike Trozzo and that was it. No one else inside. Mike and Nika. There's like
I genuinely four, didn't know Mike was there. I did not see
yeah, he was there. I would say right now. 10 to 15% of my closest community is also... maybe as into sports as I am. So there have always been sports video games in my life, but something very special happened in college was FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now all of my friends play. FIFA felt like the, it crossed into a, you could have been into sports at all. You could have like not even cared about anything, but they did something with FIFA that was so fun.
Yes.
And I think probably what helped was, you know, you would have had to be a in the general manager mode to even know. I think I was also around a bunch of people who didn't know a lot about soccer. So it was like, oh, none of us get to say that their dad also played and all like throw out these little stupid stats that you hear like in the middle of a football game. But you know what's crazy? He was the third person ever to do this in the 89th minute on a Tuesday. It's like nobody knows that shit. So it didn't matter. But FIFA was so fun. And I played FIFA so much. And I don't remember what year it was. That we were making up our own lyrics to the entire soundtrack of the like songs that they put on there. We would just throw in random stuff. Some of it was player themed, some of it was just country themed. But FIFA continues to be. I think I'm gonna get a console soon. I've had a Switch for a long time, but I think I'm probably gonna go to whatever. I don't even is it PlayStation 5?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the newest one?
Got it.
I think I'm going to go that route. And one reason is to just get back into video, obviously video games in general, but FIFA is going to be one of the first. I don't care. Like at that point too, I feel like you can jump into FIFA if you hadn't played in forever.
Oh yeah.
And just get up there and have a
rules are still
time.
The same. They're not really changing those anymore.
Soccer doesn't change
I think
that
they
much.
Landed. Still they landed the same, on how man. They like to play that game.
Dude, I'll buy FIFA and play with you. I didn't know that was on the docket for you. I'll buy FIFA and play with you.
Let's get FIFA. Yeah. Let's play FIFA together.
FIFA's great.
My next one, I think, is going to be taking a bit of a jump forward in time to The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom for me. Makes this list over. Sure as thing. I was thinking about it, there are things like The Last of Us, which would be like, I would probably say that's my number one video game of all time. But I think the strengths of The Last of Us are more in its... storytelling and its ambition than in its actual minute-to-minute gameplay. I think that it is maybe not as fun of a game as it is as fun of a story.
I never played The Last of Us, but Vince was not allowed to play it unless I was sitting on the couch so that I could follow the story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is way less a game and more a story that you play, which is fine. That's typically what I prefer. But something about Tears of the Kingdom when it came out last year just hit me in the... I think Vince, you talked about in the nuts. You talked about playground rules or like the playground like rumor trading about Sly Cooper. I felt that as an adult for Tears of the Kingdom. Like waiting. I stayed up until it came out. I never beat Breath of the Wild until the release night of Tears of the Kingdom.
Well, that's fun.
And so like credits rolled on Breath of the Wild. And then as the credits started rolling, I got the notification in the top of my screen that's like, Tears of the Kingdom is now ready to play. And so I just went straight into it.
Oh.
And like experiencing that, I went in like super duper blind. Like I watched trailers, but they didn't give anything away. And just like discovering all the new powers that you get in that game. And the like, for that first like probably 2 weeks or so that game was out, there was such a sense of just like, have you heard that you can build a bike out of fans and a steering wheel? And it's like, I mean, yeah, I guess you probably can. Like there, it felt like there was nothing that somebody could say about that game that wasn't possible. Mm. Like it just such crazy freedom and creativity. Like, I don't know. It really felt like, I was 6 years old again. And somebody was like, this is a secret cheat code to let you play as Wario in Super Mario 64. And I was like, yeah, that seems true.
Yeah.
Game's amazing.
It was just a masterpiece.
Yeah. Absolutely agree.
I am curious. Like, I think I ended up now, like looking back on the two, I think Breath of the Wild is the one that I'm more grateful for.
Hmm. Yeah.
even though Tears of the Kingdom is the more complete game.
Sure.
Like, yes.
And it's just, yeah. it's just so, like, what a time to be alive and able to play games.
I know.
I think because I played Breath of the Wild, there were things about Tears of the Kingdom that felt redundant. Like, I didn't feel the desire to do all of the teeny exploration that I did the first time I played Breath of the Wild. Like in that one, I would literally explore every nook and cranny, every rock, pick up everything I could find. And I didn't feel that, not the desire, but well, maybe the desire, but also like the necessity to do that since I felt like I had done so much of that in the first game. But I did love both.
Gosh, I love
it. I've phrased it as like Breath of the Wild is, I think, like the perfect return to Zelda experience for me, but I will never play it again because I will just play Tears of the Kingdom. Like if I want to return to that Hyrule, I'm just going to boot up Tears of the Kingdom instead.
It feels like, like the most meaningful DLC ever released.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, if I could see them as one game, I would absolutely play Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I don't think I will go back to Breath of the Wild, but to me, that is
sure.
the formation of all of it, which it is. So I get that.
Yeah.
The experience of seeing a dragon.
Oh my gosh.
Breath of the Wild. Having
the most magical.
They had not been, and like kind of tearing up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if I was about to die. Like, I was like, this could be a big bad boy. And I have no idea.
Right. Who knows?
And then it's like,
who knows?
It doesn't. And it just flies by me. I was just like, what? How did I accidentally find this?
I feel like there are a few times I've been truly surprised in most things. The well, when some of our very close friends told us that they were pregnant most recently, was not on my radar at all. That was very surprising. And then the dragons appearing in Breath of the Wild, I think my jaw drops.
Same.
And then a couple moments in Stormlight, but we're not going to spoil any of those.
Sure, yeah, we won't go there. Sure.
That, well, I would say the depths in Tears of the Kingdom was like,
yes.
That's really fun.
Is that where you were going, Jordan?
Straight down.
Well, all I was going to say is if you haven't played Tears of the Kingdom, it's still new enough that I don't want to spoil things.
Oh, bleep me on that.
No, you're good. You're good. I don't think the depth is a spoiler because it was in the trailers for everything, but I think the depths and exploring those, but also I would say one of the best final boss fight sequences in any game I have ever played.
Okay, I haven't done it.
Incredible.
I haven't beaten it.
Oh, the final boss sequence is so good.
Okay.
I would say for sure my favorite Zelda boss fight ever, but like maybe one of my favorite boss fight sequences, period. Oh. I cried. It's so good.
Mm.
But I'm also like Zelda lives in my soul. So I have a little special place for it.
So the last game that I listed was one of my, I think, just most memorable experiences. It's this little indie game. I don't know how little it is anymore, but it's called Unpacking. Mm-hmm. Have you all heard of Unpacking? Mm. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
So box number one, it's pixel art, which is just, you will always sell me on a pixel art game. The premise of the game is you're literally unpacking boxes as you're moving into different spaces throughout your entire life. So you start, you don't see your character ever. All you're seeing and interacting with are the boxes and the items in the box. And so it has this incredibly, to me, very novel way of telling a story that is just through the items that are in your space. And so you get to know who you are, what you love, the things that you go through. And it's a very short game. But within that time, you become nostalgic for some of the items. You're like, oh my gosh, I remember this item from unpacking my room as like an 8-year-old. And like the ways you try and fit those into your new life. And like, do they have a spot on the shelf or do they get put away in a cabinet? You watch your character go through their entire life. And it ends, the ending, I won't spoil it so that you can play it. But I'm a crier to begin with, but I just
wept.
Yeah, I would say that sounds like a cry game for sure.
It is
big time.
So wonderful. It's absolutely worth every penny and more that you would spend on it. I highly recommend it. It is probably my most recommended game. If someone asked me like, hey, Mariah, I just need a game to play. It is my first recommendation always.
I've heard such good things. I need to play
wonderful.
It.
Wonderful.
It's so short. You can play it handheld.
Yes.
But it's great on the screen. Yeah, you are a crier, and I was crying. I mean, it's quite moving and really powerful about like even when you go through hard chapters, there are more chapters. It's just very, it's very cool.
It's beautiful.
Unpacking.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. Favorite game. Favorite game is surprising no one. I thought about this for a long time. My favorite game is Bloodborne. And yeah. I know that this is this game has some history on this show. yeah, I think that what I would say about it, because it is a very hard game to recommend to most everyone. And so I don't know why this is my like particular brand of pain, but it is, there's definitely like the vibe that helps and the aesthetic that helps. And it's, you're a monster hunter. It's one of the Dark Souls, Souls-like games that was made exclusively for the PlayStation 4, in partnership with Sony. It is also like, it's locked in this Sony vault. And so that makes it all the more enticing. Like there's all the reasons why, but the feelings of accomplishment in that game in particular, were so, they were, I played it really late in my life and it was still like this unlock of like, I can do hard things. And those, the process of doing those things can be really, really enjoyable.
And also very loud with cuss words.
Also very loud with cuss words, which is funny because I also, so there are weird things that I find zen, and I find fighting challenging bosses and challenging areas in that discovery to be very relaxing in a really strange way. The same way that I like will listen to like metal while doing spreadsheets. Yeah, there's just something about it. And so I don't know. I think that it is a triumph. You fast forward and they have made a game called Elden Ring that is built upon this in the same way that Jedi games are built on Jedi Knight Academy. Yes. So I don't know. I just think that it's fantastic. And if anything, if Eldritch horror is kind of like something that you're interested in, don't just go watch people play this video game.
Yeah. Just watch a playthrough if you don't want to
online.
Play it.
And it's, I think it's so cool.
It's very spooky, good spooky vibes.
So
people can beat every boss, like do a full glitchless playthrough of this game in like 10 hours or less. You can watch it like a TV show real quick. Just it's amazing. Right through it.
And yeah, it's the only game I've ever thought about getting a tattoo about. I love Bloodborne.
The Hunter's Mark?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll echo you real quick because I anticipated your answer being Bloodborne. So I pivoted for my third game, but Bloodborne was going to be my third game as well, simply for all of the exact same reasons. And it was my first Souls game, which then ignited a love for other Souls games for me. Of, if not my favorite genre, one of my favorite genres now, and it's because of Bloodborne. And I played it because of your recommendation like years ago. So full circle, baby. Full circle. Yeah. Bloodborne is if spooky werewolf Victorian vibes are for you and you have an interest in the strange,
say
at least watch it. But if you've got the stomach for like a Souls type game, you should play it because it's fantastic.
Well, and like all of the lore is in item descriptions, right? Like, I mean, yeah, I know that there's some in conversations, but
item descriptions and YouTube channels.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the lore lives on Vati Vidya's YouTube channel for me. That's the only reason I understand any of these games. Great game. My third game is a game called Life is Strange. Life is Strange. I have talked about this game in therapy because the way I described Life is Strange is when I was a senior in high school and I had my own car, I had a dentist appointment in the morning when I was supposed to go to school. But I had a dentist appointment that I got a note from that was like, Jordan was at the dentist. That's why he's late. And in my car on the way to school, I had this realization that I could just kind of do something else for a little bit because I had this note. And so I went and I got like a coffee, like an iced coffee from Starbucks and just sat on a bench in a park for all of like my second period class. And I described to my therapist, Life is Strange is the feeling of sitting on that bench in that park, but in video game form. It's like, wow. I'm supposed to go do something else, but this is better. And that's what that game feels like. It's like this slice of life game where the dialogue is cheesy because it was written in French and then translated to English, but it's like 90s surfer California slang and it's horrible. And, but it's this like sweet, weird, superpower love story, strange thing. I don't know how to describe it other than like it is, if you choose for it to be a gay love story in the Pacific Northwest with incredible music and terrible dialogue. And it just like has a special place in my heart. I love this game. That's awesome. And yeah, the first time I played it was 2017. It was a few years after it had come out and I finally sat down and played it. And I just, speaking of weeping, I just wept at the end of this game and I booted it up, immediately played it again. And I've now played it through twice with Callie, just doing that. Right next to me on the couch watching thing. It's so good. It's so good. Well, just want to say before we close everything out, a huge thank you to Mariah and Vince for joining us tonight as we record for your ears. They are heart and soul of the show on Imagine Dungeons, and their creativity and their dedication to threading that super fine needle between earnest and hilarious is really impressive. And we're just so thankful, not only for their creativity, but for their friendship over here on Two Chunks. So thank you guys so much for recording with us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
I wasn't this nice to Gage. So
that makes that tracks.
We had only just met.
Yeah, you guys said I had to pay him for that first one.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
He charged $50 per word and then he wouldn't shut up. He's such crazy. A jerk.
This may be a weird question, but is there anything you guys want to plug or make sure people know before we close things out tonight?
I don't think so.
This camera.
Yeah. Tell the world what you got going on.
Regular old high school teacher. So this is all the fun stuff I do.
Everybody come to school.
Make time for hobbies. Make time for therapy.
I love that.
The only people that will remember that you work late are your kids.
Oh, that's so sad.
I don't know what else you want. No, thanks for having us. This is awesome.
Very cool. Make sure you listen to Imagine Dungeons. If you're listening day of release to this episode, that means Imagine Dungeons is one sleep away for episodes 1 and 2. I can't stress this enough. Cannot wait for you to listen to it. I am pins and needles over here. Everybody I know is about to get a text message with a link to this the day it comes out. Just sorry, over and over again. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our names. And if you brought an honorable mention, something you like to play, something you're playing right now, something you played recently, or something you just, it didn't fit the list, but you just want to say it in connection with who you are, the floor is yours. Let's start with our wonderful guests. Who wants to kick it off?
This is Mariah. And I recently 100%ed Sea of Stars.
It's so good.
I was really nervous about turn-based, but it was so good.
That boomerang feels bad.
Never. Yes. You always just feel like a freaking rock star.
Oh my gosh, that game's amazing.
So good. I'm Vince, and my honorable mention game is Curse of the Golden Idol. It is a fantastic, easy to pick up mystery game where you are trying to analyze these still scenes and figure out what happened. And there's some mystical, supernatural stuff going on. And
it's super weird and super fun.
The art is like old Macintosh style, but full color. So it's pretty to look at. I really haven't played anything else like it. And it's cheap. You're going to love it. Curse of the Golden Idol.
This one's Jordan over here. And for me, it's Balatro. It's a poker-based roguelike. It's so addicting. I don't know anything about poker. I don't know how to play poker. I've played it twice. I was bad at it both times. But this game.
You've played poker twice?
Two times.
What'd you do at sleepovers?
I don't know.
We played video games?
Star Wars Jedi Academy.
Talked to girls and played video games? Yeah, it is. I think by saying poker-based roguelike, you will know if you're into it or not. So there's no point in me describing it. It's amazing. And it's like the moment it comes out for mobile, which apparently it is, you won't ever have a conversation with me where I'm looking you in the eyes again for the rest of your life.
I'm Doge. I wish I had a cool indie game to say here, but my honorable mention is when I think back of games that have been super important in my life, Super Smash Brothers Brawl, the Smash Bros. For Wii, is at college, the top of important games in my life because my college roommates and I played that for hours every single night.
Amazing.
To end us out, I'm Carter. The Kellys and I and my wife, Chelsea, made a trip to L.A. There's a lot of things to do in L.A., but really the legitimate main reason we did go was to watch League of Legends live.
It's true.
Vince and I went and watched League of Legends, and it was one of the best experiences I've had with Vince, and we've had a lot of good ones. But yeah, League of Legends, for sure. It is an absolute snowball of a culture. It will never end. It is full of some of the worst people in the world. But it sure is lots of fun.
Feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.